Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, last weekend was Vision Sunday, and we introduced our theme for the year to you of Keep Hope Alive. You know, I really believe that of all the things we need right now, that hope is at the top of that list. We all desperately need hope for the future. We need assurance that things will be okay. And I guess we just need to know that one day things will get back to some form of normality, and that this virus too will eventually disappear so that we can get on with our lives again. You know, unfortunately, our Durban North campus has been hit particularly hard with COVID. We've seen hundreds of congregants and their family members infected with the virus. And sadly, we've also seen a number of people in our church die. In fact, I was just saying to Yannette last week that it almost feels like our pastoral team is walking through a battlefield at the moment, kind of picking up those who've been injured and tending to the wounded and even burying those who didn't survive the onslaught. We need hope, and we need a good measure of it. And so I want to start a series today that I've called Holding Onto Hope. Holding Onto Hope. And this will obviously tie in with our theme of Keep Hope Alive. And my goal over the next few weeks really is to build your faith, to help you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and to hold on to the hope that comes through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The late Dr. Ravi Zacharias once said that outside of the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no hope in this world. That cross and that resurrection at the core of the gospel is the only hope for humanity. Wherever you go, ask God for wisdom on how to get that gospel in, even in the toughest of situations of life. You know, for many of you watching today, I think this current season has probably been the most difficult season of your life. It has come with great loss and devastation, and it's brought so much uncertainty and hopelessness. And the reality is that without Jesus to hold on to, well, there would be no hope. We would have no other option but to give up in despair, and we would simply have to accept that things would never change for the better. And well, that was just our lot in life. But when we have Christ as the center of our lives, friend, it changes everything. And no matter how bad things might get or how desperate circumstances may become, we always have hope to hold on to because our hope is rooted in the person of Jesus. I want to do part one today in our hope series on staying rooted in Christ. Staying rooted in Christ. You know, as many of you would know, the Apostle Paul faced great hardship in life. He endured severe persecution and was frequently beaten and imprisoned. His life was also continuously threatened, and he had many, many opportunities to give up serving God because things seemed to be harder than what he could endure. But yet, Paul never gave up. He stayed faithful and committed right up to the time of his execution. Why? Well, because he lived with constant hope. In Colossians 2, verse 6, Paul writes, and he says, "And now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then," he says, "your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete." Notice, as a Christ follower, you lack nothing, including hope. He says, "So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Let's look at a few thoughts from Scripture as we build a foundation today. Firstly, we see that hope is found in the person of Jesus. Hope is found in the person of Jesus. I think the number one reason why most people in our world live without hope is very simple. They are looking for it in all the wrong places. And I wonder how many of you remember that U2 song from 1987 called, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." Well, I think that's the confession of most people. They desperately want and need something or someone to give them hope for the future, yet they refuse to turn to Christ and acknowledge Him as Lord. You know, if Jesus is the source of all hope, and if people choose to ignore Him or overlook Him, well, then all they're left with is nothing other than some positive thinking or occasional happy thoughts and feelings to get them by. But I've realized, as I'm sure you have, that those wear off very quickly, because positivity and happy feelings cannot be sustained by the pressures of life and the troubles we face in this world. You know, sadly, people are looking for hope in their possessions and in their money. Others turn to government and all the promises they make that they simply cannot ever fulfill. Others, out of desperation, even turn to alcohol and drugs to fill that void. And some, as we so often see, eventually take their own lives out of desperation, because without hope, life becomes unbearable. In fact, just this last week, a cousin of mine who is the same age as me shot himself and took his own life. He had a wife and 3 daughters, and you know, I haven't seen him or had contact with him for many, many years, so I don't know all the details and the circumstances. But what I do know is that he got to a place in life where he had no more hope for the future and therefore felt that life wasn't worth living anymore. Friend, we must keep hope alive, because hope is life to our souls. The renowned Christian author and theologian Lewis Smedes once said that hope is to our spirits what oxygen is to our lungs. Lose hope and you die. They may not bury you for a while, but without hope, you are dead on the inside. You know, there is nothing of this world that can offer us hope, because hope is not attached to anything or anyone other than the person of Jesus. There's that great verse in Matthew chapter 12, verse 21. Many of you would know this. It says of Jesus that His name will be the hope of all the world. You know, the very name of Jesus brings hope to us. Can I encourage you that if you're feeling hopeless and weighed down, just begin to speak and utter the name of Jesus. Begin to call on Him and start to put your trust in that name, because the name of Jesus is the name above every other name. There is no other name like His name, because His name is the one that brings hope into our hopeless situations. You know, in Psalm 62, we read of David, who was facing huge adversity again. His enemies were closing in on him, and people were saying all sorts of things about him that were untrue, and it almost seemed like a hopeless situation. But because of the hope that he had, David stood firm, and like he often did in Scripture, he began to speak to his soul. And in Psalm 62, verse 5, we read David speaking to himself, and he says, "Wait calmly for God alone, my soul, because my hope comes from Him." You know, it's interesting, that word hope that David uses in the original Hebrew is the word tikvah, and it literally means a cord or an attachment. So we see that hope is an attachment to something or to someone. You know, we were recently down at the Garden Route with our family, and while we were there, we took our kids zip lining in the Tsitsikamma Forest. I mean, it was a pretty amazing experience and something I can highly recommend to you if you're ever down that way. We went on a 2-hour trail with 11 different zip lines. Most of them were very steep over these big gorges and ravines. Now, I'm generally not one for heights. I mean, I prefer my feet on the ground. So I needed to first be certain that those ropes were very securely attached, so that there was absolutely no chance that I was going to fall. But because the cords were strong and because they were attached securely to the rocks, well, we could look forward to the experience as a family and we had a whole lot of fun and adventure together. You know, life also becomes far more enjoyable when we live with hope, when our cord or attachment is fastened securely to Jesus the rock. Then even when we go through the troubled ravines of life and we have to battle our way through deep valleys and gorges, well, we have the assurance that things will work out for our good and that God will carry us safely through to the other side. Can you say amen to that? You know, I think maybe perhaps some of you today need reminding that the rock is not a wrestler or a TV actor. The rock is Jesus himself, upon whom we attach our entire lives to and in whom we place all our hopes for the future. A lady by the name of Beth Moore is a well-known evangelist and author, and she says, every one of us is hanging on to something or someone for security. If it's someone or something other than God alone, you're hanging on by a thread, the wrong thread. You know, I think most of us would know that term, hanging on by a thread. And that's where many people are at the moment, barely hanging on, feeling like they're about to fall, uncertain of what the future holds. But when your hope or your cord is attached to Jesus, friend, you never have to live in fear or worry about the future. You can trust the one who himself is the rock of our salvation, and you can hold firmly onto him. The great Charles Spurgeon once said it so well when he said, without Christ, there is no hope. But with Christ, well, we are never without hope. Can you say amen? Number two is this. Hope is maintained as we follow Christ daily. You know, hope is not just built on a once-off decision to give your life to Jesus. Hope is strengthened and sustained as we make the daily decision to follow Christ. You know, I can remember when I first fully gave my heart to the Lord. Then for the first time in my life, I had hope for the future. I had real hope, not just a temporary feeling. And, you know, up until then, I'd lived with very little expectation for the future. But when I got saved, I knew without doubt that there were better days ahead and that there was a great future that awaited me. Why? Because I had hope. And the truth is that all of us who surrendered to Christ start out that way. You know, when the Lord forgives your sins and you realize that you're no longer carrying the baggage and the guilt of your past, well, your life is filled with hope. I guess it's like being set free from a life sentence in prison. We have hope. But unfortunately, not everyone who gives their heart to Jesus continues to live in hope. Because as Paul reminds us in that verse we read earlier, he goes on to say that just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. You see, maintaining hope requires that we continue to follow Christ on a daily basis. We have to, I guess, deepen our relationship with him so that our roots become planted in him and in his word. Then we can draw daily strength and nourishment from him. And the more our lives are built on Jesus, the more faith we will have and the more hope we will have for the future. You know, I've seen many people in church over the years who once had great hope for the future, but then they lost all hope because bad things either happened to them or bad things began to happen around them. And I think it's fair to say that COVID has affected all of us, some more severely than others, but all of us have been shaken in some way by this, and none of our lives are the same as what they were a year ago. I mean, you think back to January last year, what you were doing, how you were busy dreaming for the future and planning for the year ahead, and many things have changed since then. And some of you watching today have grown discouraged, and others have begun to give up hope. But we must keep hope alive. But to do so, we have to keep nurturing our relationship with Jesus because he's the source of our hope. And the more we trust him and the more we look to him, the more hope begins to burn brightly on the inside of us. G.K. Chesterton, the author and theologian, once said that hope means expectancy when things are otherwise hopeless. If you tuned in last week, you would have heard Pastor Andre preach a great message about the power of expectation. And that's exactly what hope does. It fills us with expectation for the future. It enables us to look beyond the current circumstances, and no matter how disheartening they may be, our faith is stirred to believe that God is still in control and that things will get better in time. Can you say amen? Then thirdly, we see that hope in Jesus is our anchor during stormy times. You know, on the 12th of February 1983, a 200-meter-long cargo ship called the SS Marine Electric sank in the Atlantic Ocean off Virginia. 31 of the 34 crew members were killed. And on the day the ship sank, there was a fierce storm that it was trying to navigate its way through. And in the process, the ship's 8-ton anchor came loose and battered the hull of the ship until it went down. I mean, that was the irony here. The ship was actually destroyed by its own anchor. You see, all of us have something in life that we've anchored ourselves to. Something or someone that we've put our trust in or put our hope in. Some people put their trust in education or in their profession. Others put their trust in their wealth or their work or their business or the things they've achieved. But here's the thing, don't miss this. When the big, dangerous storms of life come, like we're currently right in the middle of with this COVID pandemic, that which you are anchored to will either save you or it will shipwreck you. Those who've anchored their lives to material things and the temporary things of this world will eventually be undone by the very things they trusted in, because you realize in a storm that hope can only come to us when our lives are anchored to Jesus Himself. Only He, the Lord, can provide safe passage for us through the storm, and only He can steady the boat of our lives. Our hope in Christ is the only unfailing anchor for our souls. There's that well-known passage in Hebrews 6, verse 18. The writer says that we who have fled to Him, to Jesus, for refuge, can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain and into God's inner sanctuary. You know, when you and I stay rooted in Jesus and we build our lives on Him, then the hope that we have becomes, as the Bible says here, a trustworthy anchor for our souls. It keeps our lives from being shipwrecked because it gives us something strong and reliable to hold on to during the storms of life. The great R.C. Sproul once said that hope is the anchor of the soul because it gives stability to the Christian life. But hope is not simply a wish. In other words, I wish that such and such would take place. Rather, it is that which latches onto the certainty of the promises of the future that God has made. Church, never forget that God has given us good promises for the future. He has promised to bless and provide and heal and restore our lives. His word reassures us that He has good plans for us and that He is always with those who look to Him as Lord. And every good promise of God is designed really to keep hope alive, because they always point ahead to the future. And as long as we hold on to the promises of God, we can keep holding on to hope. And hope will cause us to look ahead with a confident expectation of a better future. I think the worst place to be in life is in a place of hopelessness. When you have no good expectation of the future, when you can't see things changing for the better, and when you stop believing the good promises of God. Leadership author John Maxwell rightly says that when there is no hope in the future, there is no power in the present. You know, the moment you let go of hope, you see things very quickly begin to unravel around you. When you lose hope, we begin to see fear increasing in our lives. We start to become anxious about all the things that are happening around us. And we even start to believe that perhaps we'll probably get this virus and there's a good chance that we may even die. We don't live by faith anymore. And because of that, we stop moving forward in life. It's like we get, you know, stuck in a vacuum where we stop seeing progress and we stop believing that God is in control of all things. And I'm sure you'll agree, that's a terrible way to live. And yet many are living like that right now. Not because God has forgotten them or because He's lost control, but because they've given up hope. You know, if you're in a place today like that where you know that your hope levels have dropped, make an intentional decision to stay rooted in Christ. Draw near to Jesus. Begin to get into the Word. Start to saturate yourself with His presence. Because as you do, your faith levels will increase. And the byproduct of increased faith is always increased hope for the future. Charles Swindoll is a fantastic preacher. He's also an author that I often quote. His books always inspire hope. And I can remember when Yannette and I were at Bible college many years ago, we listened to many of his old sermons on cassette tapes in our Walkmans. Some of you remember what Walkmans were. He's also a great author, and he's written a fantastic book called Hope Again. And in the book, Charles Swindoll says the following. He says, "When we are trapped in a tunnel of misery, hope points to the light at the end. When we are overworked and exhausted, hope gives us fresh energy. When we are discouraged, hope lifts our spirits. When we are tempted to quit, hope keeps us going. When we lose our way and confusion blurs the destination, hope dulls the edge of panic. When we struggle with a crippling disease or a lingering illness, hope helps us persevere beyond the pain. When we fear the worst, hope brings reminders that God is still in control. When we endure the consequences of bad decisions, hope fuels our recovery. When we find ourselves unemployed, many of you are in that place today, hope tells us we still have a future. When we are forced to sit back and wait, hope gives us the patience to trust. When we feel rejected and abandoned, hope reminds us that we're not alone, we'll make it. And when we say our final farewell to someone we love, hope in the life beyond gets us through our grief." You know, hope that is rooted in Christ and anchored to the Word of God will get you through any circumstance. It will keep you strong and help you to keep moving forward. It will remind you that God has not forgotten you, and it will keep you fueled and encouraged for the road ahead. Then lastly, we see today, number four, we hold on to hope for beyond the grave. We hold on to hope for beyond the grave. There's that great verse that Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. And the Amplified Bible says, "Now we do not want you to be uninformed, believers." Notice he's speaking to believers. "About those who are asleep in death, so that you will not grieve for them as the others do who have no hope beyond this present life." This is such a powerfully encouraging verse that Paul writes, because we are reminded again that even when we are surrounded by death, we still have hope. When we lose loved ones, as many have over the past few months, well, we have hope beyond the grave, that death is not the end, because the Bible assures us that all who put their trust in Jesus will live even after death. So while things around us may seem hopeless, we ourselves as Christians are never without hope. In the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes of the Lord, and he says that He has planted eternity in the human heart. You know, God through Solomon let us know that He has given us the hope of eternity by planting that seed inside the human heart. The Lord reminds us that we are essentially not created for this world, but rather we are created for eternity. And then in the New Testament, Paul echoes these thoughts in the book of 2 Corinthians. And the book of 2 Corinthians, by the way, is largely a letter about all the suffering and hardship that Paul endured. But in chapter 1, verse 22, he writes of the Lord and he says, "He has identified us as His own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment, or the deposit, if you like, that guarantees everything He has promised us. Friend, God has placed eternity in our hearts and He's given us the Holy Spirit as the confirmation or the guarantee, or if you like, the deposit of hope for all the promises He's made available for us, even the promise of eternal life. Leonid Brezhnev was the leader of the Soviet Union, and he was also the general secretary of the governing Communist Party between 1964 and 1982. And he ruled for 18 years as leader and was second only to Joseph Stalin in duration. And the communist government was, of course, as many of you would know, driven by their atheistic belief that there is no God and there is no life or hope beyond the grave. Leonid Brezhnev himself was a staunch atheist, and he died on the 10th of November, 1982, at the age of 75. And his funeral was attended by then American Vice President George Bush, who commented later about something amazing that he witnessed at the funeral. Brezhnev's widow, Victoria, had stood motionless at the coffin until seconds before it was closed. And then just as the soldiers touched the lid, Brezhnev's wife performed an act of immense courage and hope, a gesture that many regard as one of the most profound acts of civil disobedience ever committed in the Soviet Union. She reached down and made the sign of the cross on her husband's chest. You see, in the middle of this powerful atheistic regime, she had held on to the hope that there was indeed another life, and that that life was best represented by Jesus who died on the cross. Ravi Zacharias, who we mentioned earlier, once said that having killed God, the atheistic is left with no reason for being, no morality to his spouse, no meaning to life, and no hope beyond the grave. In other words, when you remove God from society and you foolishly decide that you have no room for Him in your life, then you also have to accept the eternal consequences of that decision, that you will live away from God for all eternity, separated from His love and His goodness, and subject to eternal damnation with no hope for the rest of eternity. What a frightening thought that is, but yet it's something that will become reality for everyone who rejects Jesus and turns their back on the eternal hope that He offers. But then there's a great quote from Billy Graham who says, "For the believer, there is hope beyond the grave, because Jesus Christ has opened the door to heaven for us by His death and resurrection." Church, you know, whoever puts their full trust in Jesus has hope for this life and for beyond the grave. Each day when you wake up, there is hope for that day and the rest of the week and for every other day that God allocates to you. And even when the Lord brings an end to this life for us, even then we are not without hope. Rather, we have the wonderful certainty and hope that we will stand before our Creator and we will see the Lord face to face in all His wonder and glory, and that we'll be welcomed home into an eternity where we will never, ever be separated from Jesus. What an incredible thing that is to look forward to as believers. Today, if you've never put your full trust and hope in Jesus, I'm going to pray in a moment and you can make a decision that will change the way you live, but it will also change the way you die. The Bible assures us that God offers complete forgiveness when we repent of our sins and when we acknowledge our desperate need of Jesus as Savior. Also, if you've drifted away from the Lord and have begun to lose hope, then come back to God today. Acknowledge that you've strayed away and make that decision to stay committed to the path that God has for you. Let's pray together. Father God, I come to You in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Thank You that You offer forgiveness for all our sins. Today I confess my need of Jesus as Savior. I repent of my past sins. I put my full trust in You. And I begin to live in the hope that is available for this life, but also the hope of eternal life. Thank You that You wash me clean through Your blood, Lord Jesus, and that Your sacrifice was enough to pay for all my sins in full. I surrender my life to you today. In Jesus' name I pray. And all those who prayed that said, Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.